And I'm excited to hear again from Pastor John and his wife Sally and their daughter Rebecca. And they've got some good things to share, and I won't share any more than that because they're going to share it. So we're going to ask them to come on up and share with us now.
Thank you, Larry. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together today. Father, we thank you for how you have loved us. Your word says that you have loved us with an everlasting love. You loved us before we were even remotely aware of your person and of your presence in our life. You loved us when we were small children. You watched us grow up. And Lord, I know your heart is delighted today to see these young men and women here being equipped for ministry, Lord, quite possibly ministry to children. We thank you for your heart towards children, the great love that you have for them. And so we ask today that as we consider some things from your word and consider insights into ministry that you have given, that, Lord, it would really excite, just stir up in all of our hearts the possibilities that are ours in reaching young people for your kingdom. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I have heard it often said that if you can teach children, then you can teach adults. I've heard Pastor Chuck say that. And my ministry really began teaching children in a very unique setting. We began a ministry in our living room many years ago, almost 20 years ago, and the kids that we taught were kids from a public school down the street from where Sally and I and Rebecca have lived for many, many years. Just so happened that as God had it, we moved into a house that was right down the street from a public school, and after we had lived there for about 12 years, we found out that there was a way to teach these kids in public school about the Lord, teaching them the Word of God, teaching them how they can come to know the Lord in a personal way. The ministry is called Release Time Education. Now, I need to tell you something today, just sort of on a personal note. I'm feeling a bit self-conscious. And I'll tell you why I'm feeling self-conscious. Last night, there was a meeting at my house, and they were mostly young adults. It's actually a team that will be going to Russia with us in about a week. And as I was briefing the team, I looked over at these two guys. One of them was my 22-year-old son, 24-year-old son, and the other one was his friend. And they were laughing uncontrollably. And I realized that they were laughing at me. Now, my son's a good son, a cool son. I mean, he wouldn't laugh at me for no reason at all. And so later on, I found out that they were laughing at a very strange characteristic that I have as I share with other people. In fact, they told my wife and my wife told me. And I said, no, that can't be. Why hasn't anyone ever told me this before? Honey, why haven't you told me that I do this? Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Maybe by the time we're done, you'll know. You'll say, I know what it is. And so as I was writing out here, as I was on my way out here to this class, Rebecca was sitting in the back seat. And I said, Beck, they were laughing at me last night. They say that, and I described this characteristic. And she said, Dad, you've been doing that always, always. She said, in fact, I remember when I was in high school, they had this big rally. It was a See You at the Poll rally. And they had a contest for anyone who could stand up and imitate their youth pastor. Well, it just so happened that for a brief time, I was a youth pastor. And I was a youth pastor when Rebecca was in high school, so she was at this rally. And so her friend, David, stood up, went up, and did an imitation of this strange characteristic that I do when I'm speaking. Now, I'm learning all of this. I just found this out 40 minutes ago. So that's why I feel a little self-conscious today. And she shares with me that when David got up in front of thousands of young people, or however many were in this big Baptist church in Lakewood, that he won the prize. Everybody thought that characteristic was so funny in the way he did it. Well, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, except maybe to say that God can use even the foolish things of this world to accomplish his purposes. And, well, like I said, it was back in 1986. We heard about what I thought must be illegal. I thought, this can't be right. How can you go over, register kids in a public school, bring them out of the public school into an off-campus teaching site, and share the Lord? How can you do that? That just sounds like it would be a horrible violation of the so-called separation between church and state. I know you all know that that is not stated in our Constitution, but you hear those kinds of words all of the time. Well, I did some investigation, and I found out, yes, it's true. You can bring kids into what is called a release time education class, and you can teach them, quote unquote, now this is the way it's stated in the public education code, religion. And so, of course, we're not going to teach them religion. We're going to teach them the Bible and how they can have a relationship with Jesus. So we began doing that. And boy, it just seemed like a few short years, and we were directing the program in Long Beach. We saw the Lord just bring in a lot of kids. We were going to over 30 different schools, and then we became active on the state level and even a little bit nationally. But to kind of give you a little bit of background, what release time education is, I've already told you that it's in our California Education Code. It's constitutional. It's been tried in the Supreme Court. It's a viable way, if the school district has a release time education policy, to teach kids in the public school who are often, well, let me just say this. In the public schools, so often they bend over backwards. I mean, they go to great lengths to make sure that they don't even say the word Bible, that they don't even speak the name of Jesus. So we have that opportunity to go into that environment, bring the kids out, and share with them. And as you might suspect, many of the kids that come to release time haven't been to a church before. When we give them a Bible, it's the first time they've ever held a Bible in their hands. It's the first time they've ever had an opportunity to hear the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. So, release time. Now, what we're going to do right now is show a relatively brief video that's going to give you sort of an overall picture of what release time is. So, we'll watch that video, and then I'll come back for just a moment right after that.
It is said to be the greatest mission field in the United States, our nation's public schools. Today's youth face greater external pressures than most other generations have ever dealt with. Every day, thousands of teens become sexually active, resulting in unwanted pregnancies. And every day, hundreds more are arrested. Now there is a way to reach kids for Christ and arm them with the Word of God while in school. It's called Release Time Bible Education. Release Time Bible Education is currently bringing hope to 250,000 public school students from kindergarten through high school nationwide. Launched originally in 1914, Release Time provided Bible study for public school students during school hours. But because of the surge of women joining the workforce in the 60s and 70s, Release Time education declined. But now, Release Time is being rediscovered because it is the only Christian Bible education that public school students can legally receive during school hours. Pastor John Atkinson agrees.
Release Time is the most important missionary enterprise within the United States of America. It's a door of opportunity whereby we can go into these public schools, share the gospel with these kids, plant seeds in their lives, and watch God change their lives.
Release Time teachers like Merle Pence, who as a child was a Release Time student herself, has seen an amazing response to God's Word from her students.
They'll ask questions because they want to talk about God and they don't get to in the public school. And so it's like, oh, we finally can mention His name. We finally can pray. We finally don't have to worry about anything we want to ask.
A Release Time Christian education fills in the gap that public school teachers can't do, aren't allowed to do.
Recent national statistics reflect that 50% of our nation's youth is unchurched, so Release Time provides a truly unique opportunity.
When I first started going to Religious Release, I didn't know anything about the Bible, really.
Before I attended Religious Release, I knew of like the baby Jesus and the Christmas story, and that's pretty much it.
Public school students now have the opportunity to hear the gospel, pray, read the Bible, and memorize scripture during their school day. This is how Release Time works. Children are released from school with the permission of their parents for 1 to 5 hours per week to attend Bible study off public school grounds. Classes usually meet just across the street from school in a believer's home, a trailer, or a bus equipped with desks. But most importantly, it takes caring Christians to reach out to youth with the love of Christ.
So when they're hurting for something in their family or their parents had a fight, we can pray about that. They don't have to pretend it doesn't exist, and they can know that God cares about that. Child will write and say, thank you for telling me about God. Thank you for allowing Jesus to come into my heart. I know that that has made a real difference in their lives.
And that difference is tangible. Public school teacher Jenny Veenstra has seen the changes in her students' behavior since they started attending Release Time classes.
Release Time Christian education definitely builds confidence, and it definitely builds character. It teaches children right from wrong. The world often does not teach children right from wrong.
I remember one student coming to me after class one day and saying, you know, Miss Clifton, I used to steal, but now I don't because I learned that it was wrong.
Many teachers notice even their students becoming more well-rounded educationally because of Release Time classes.
For instance, if I'm discussing the rainbow, basically the color scheme of the rainbow, they will say, oh, I know why the rainbow is in the sky. And students will just automatically enrich the lesson. As a public school teacher, I could never do that, but they are able to do that.
The knowledge of God's promises taught in Release Time classes gives students the confidence to openly express their concerns.
I think Release Time becomes a place of comfort. And, of course, Christ becomes their anchor.
Joyce has offered that anchor to children as a Release Time Bible teacher for 7 years and has witnessed how the power of God's Word has worked in so many of her students' lives.
There was Tiffany Wilson, and she was one that was extremely eager to come to class and learn about God. And one day I asked her if she would like to come to church. And she said, I'd love to come to church. I've never been to church.
After I started going to church and I started growing more in the Lord and loving Him even more, I found myself praying to Him more often. And it was then that I kind of realized that I was becoming a Christian, that I was a Christian.
Because of Release Time, Tiffany came to the Lord. So then we all went to church and we all came to the Lord also.
For others, like James Menke, Release Time became a source of peace during difficult times.
Well, when I started going to Religious Release, my parents had split up. And Release Time, it was like a comfort because I knew that God would always be there.
James was a fourth grader when he started coming to Release Time. He was 9 years old. very bright student, but a bit challenging for me at times. But after he accepted Christ as his Savior, I saw a drastic change in his behavior.
When I accepted Christ, I could actually feel it, and it felt like a burden was being lifted. And I knew that wherever I was and whatever was going on, that he would always be there to help me.
3 weeks after James had received Christ, his sister Samantha was involved in a serious car accident.
My parents were a wreck, and I was a wreck, and my brother and sister was a wreck. But I just kept praying, and I prayed for her every night that she was in the hospital, and I kind of felt like he definitely helped, because, I mean, she got out okay, and in spite of everything that went wrong.
Now more than ever, God's presence is needed within our public schools, but Christians must step up to the task.
Do you realize that most school districts do not have release time in them, or do not offer release time, only because we haven't gone in and started the programs? So we have an open door to do that.
If it weren't for release time, I don't think I would have Jesus as close to my heart as I do today, because release time was the only place where he was shown to me.
In verse 18, Jesus says, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And then if you would just turn over very quickly to Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, a statistic that perhaps you've heard before that's very important to keep in mind is simply the fact that believers, that is 80% of all believers, come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before their 18th birthday. And I think these scriptures that we've read kind of gives us some insight, because in the passage in Matthew 13, a key word there is understanding. And then in the passage in chapter 18, the humility. Just to take these basic, simple facts of the gospel and receive them in humility, that's the way we all have to come. And as a child, there's just that special spiritual sensitivity that they have, even if they're right out of the local public school and they've never been exposed to the Word of God before. One of the things that I love about release time, you see, we can't go onto the campus and recruit kids. We'd love to do that, but we can't. It's really up to the kids themselves. And we see kids hear the Word, receive that imperishable seed of the Word of God, and it begins to start to grow, to take root in their heart. They get excited. They go tell their other friends, and they come, and wow, it's exciting as you watch God work. Now, because we place a great emphasis upon understanding the Word of God, and because every student receives a Bible so that they've got the Word of God in their hands, we do different things to sort of set the atmosphere and really invite the presence of God into that classroom. And one of the things we do is really unique to the ministry that God has given to my daughter, Rebecca. So I'm going to ask Rebecca to come and talk about some of the things that she's done in her release time classes.
Didn't realize I'd traumatized my dad so much with that story earlier. Gosh, that was so funny. He had no idea. It's one of those things where you kind of hint to them over the years, but they don't really get it. Sorry. Anyway, my name's Rebecca, and I've been involved with my parents for many years, especially when we were even younger, when we had kids, you know, come to our house that are older than me now. I think so, around there. But what I just want to briefly share with you guys about is, and I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with if you're going into children's ministry, is just the aspect of music and worship in a class such as this. And also a lot to do just with what we do in these classes in general. And you've kind of got a little bit about, like, just how this legally works, because when you first are introduced, it's like, how does this work? There's no way, you know. But there is, and my mom will probably share more about that. But as far as these classes, we hold some of them, we have to hold it off campus. So sometimes we have it in a home, like my father was sharing how we bring kids over to the house for an hour, or we have mobile classrooms that are like buses. We've cleared all the seats out of them and actually turned it into a classroom with seats that go all the way around the bus with a sound system and everything else, so we can just bring the buses to all the different schools, and the kids come out of school and come in the bus, and we have a class. Now, a lot of these kids is a totally different element than church kids most of the time. I mean, we do have a lot of church kids that still come, but a lot of kids, you know, like you could see, never, you know, it's totally new territory. And so you kind of have a little different approach as far as, you know, a lot of the kids are used to maybe their Sunday school and worshiping and singing to the Lord, and a lot of kids are like, what in the world are we doing, you know? And maybe you guys are familiar with just some of the, you know, the great music that's out there, and, you know, the kind of worship we have nowadays, especially for kids, it's pretty phenomenal. And, you know, we kind of, you know, just competing with what a lot of the secular world has and what the kids hear day in and day out. It's just, it's very... it's such a high contrast. But one of the things mostly that really impacted my life when I was younger was, of course, music. And I think we can all relate to that, how there's something about music that just stays in your heart and in your mind, you know, especially when you're even in the mall and you're just listening to some stupid song and you'll be singing it all day. You know, it just gets in your head. And so same with just... with worship songs. And I can just testify that even when I was little, how many of you guys are Calvary Chapel kids, grew up in Calvary Chapel? Oh, yeah, right here. Total Calvary Chapel kids. So, salty? Yeah? Salty? All right, good. I'm not that old. But, yeah, Salty was, like, big when I was little. And one of the albums, I don't know if some of you Salty kids remember, but it was the alphabet song, and it was a scripture for every letter of the alphabet. And to this day, I can say every one of those scriptures because triggered by that song and by the alphabet because it's a song. Now, today, when I'm just, you know, reading my Bible and trying to memorize, just forget it. It's hard for me. Memorization is a hard thing. I mean, it takes discipline. But with songs, they just really sink in. So we found that, you know, well, I mean, the Bible talks about it. I don't know if you guys know Colossians 3:16 off the top of your heads, but it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord." And that is such a key, you know, teaching with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, because there's just something about that sinks in. And I've noticed even with my kids, we try to get them to memorize the scripture each week. And, you know, we give them a little piece of paper with the scripture, you know, that's kind of the common way to do it. And you know what, usually they lose the paper, none of them memorize it. But if we do a song that has to do with that verse, or put it to music somehow, it stays in their heads. And I know you guys can somehow relate to that. So I know we don't have a whole lot of time today, and there's so much we want to throw at you guys, and I'm sure a lot of it many of you know, because you're going into children's ministry, and that's so great. But another way we use to teach these songs is also through sign language, whether it's just signs we make up or it's real sign language. Most of it is real sign language, and on some occasions, we actually have kids that my mom had a class where she had a child that was deaf and had to bring his interpreter into the class. So we got to share with her as well as she translated all the lessons and all the songs. But it's a way to learn the songs, learn the words, and get the kids to learn the words. And in the brief amount of time that we have, I'm going to share with you guys just a few signs so you guys can add that to your little resume of things you can do. If some of you are totally fluent, you're going to be like, she's so way off. But some of it is, you know, a real sign language. A lot of it I've learned in other things. When you don't know words, you just kind of make things up. But the thing is just keep the kids moving, keep them excited in this class. And I have a class in Compton, which is a fun class. It's a pretty crazy class. We have it in the bus. And we pretty much pack this bus out, and the kids, you know, are excited. We have the music going when they come on the bus, and, you know, we get them kind of settled down. And one of their favorite songs is, I'm sure you guys know the song, "Every Move I Make." Every move I make, I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. That one's been around forever. So they've got a great version for kids, which is totally upbeat. And at one point, you know, they have all the kids jumping, and they jump so high that they're hitting the roof. So there's handprints all over the roof, and the whole bus is shaking. So the kids have a lot of fun with this. And then we also, you know, have the worship songs that really just get the kids back calmed down and get them focused on what's going to happen and just really preparing their hearts, because you guys know there's something about worship. I mean, even the Bible says it prepares our hearts, it washes our hearts, it gets that soil ready. And just like that scripture that was shared in Matthew, I mean, this just the understanding of the word, there's such a key there. And this is the most effective discipleship program, you know, for these kids that are out there. I mean, we have a lot of emphasis on evangelism nowadays, you know, on getting people saved. Okay, they're safe. But man, it's a whole new level of life. It's a whole realm of the kingdom of God, of just living and learning and growing and letting those roots grow. So that's, you know, what this is about. It's a year. We have these kids. Some of these kids we have for 2 years, because they're only fourth and fifth graders that we can have. So they come in their fourth grade year, they stay their fifth grade year, and sometimes they come in and out throughout the year, but most of them are pretty steadfast. But, you know, when they come out, they know the word, they have a rich understanding, you know, of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We do a curriculum that goes from the beginning pretty much to the end as best we can in the time that we have. So, you know, as they're learning, these songs just really kind of bring that home. So if you guys are up for it while you're sitting, I'm just going to teach you guys actually just a few signs. You guys can, especially for you, I just want to say something to the guys too. You guys are like, oh no, we're not going to do this. But you know what? I have a lot of guys in my class, a lot of just the cutest kids in the world. They're so great. And these are like tough kids. I mean, their neighborhoods are rough. And they come in there and their arms are folded and they're like, there is no way I'm doing that, you know, and they're making fun of all the girls, and the girls are like, praise the Lord, you know, doing all this stuff. But, man, give them a couple weeks, and those guys were totally into it, doing all the motions and jamming with these songs. And we have a CD that we've made, just a compilation of songs from a lot of the great albums that are out there. I mean, you know, all different genres of music, from just hip-hop and some great modern worship songs that most of us know, and, you know, the universal Lord, I Lift Your Name on High that everybody knows, and, you know, stuff like that. So, anyway, am I talking to my own minute? I'm sorry, you guys. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Since we mentioned Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, there's a lot of words in this song. Obviously, it's a very wordy song, but I'm going to teach you the song because a lot of these words you can recycle and use them in a lot of other songs. And if you guys are teaching Sunday school on the side, too, this is great. And maybe you've already learned, you know, tons of songs and all the motions, but just, you know, pretend you're amused by me and do it. But on Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, a few basic words would be Lord, and you take your right hand. And you just cross it across your shoulders, down to your hip, and that's Lord. And you'll use that in a lot of songs. And another word is God that you'll use. God, you use in a lot of songs. Words such as awesome and praise and glory, spirit, Jesus. Christ is the same as Lord, only with a C. And King is also the same as Lord, only with a K. If you guys know the alphabet. And I also have some handouts if some of you guys want them, and it has all the letters and a few other signs. So if you guys are really into this, you know, take some. Or just take some, make me happy. So Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's do the whole song. So it goes, Lord, I lift, this is name, your name, two fingers over each, on high. And then Lord, I love to sing your praises. Now you're going to make an I with your pinky. I'm so glad. Happy, glad, you're in. Now make two L's, my life. Flip them. And then I again, I'm so glad you came to save us. Okay, so the song's fast. You can't possibly do all the words, so that's why I'm smashing them up. So let's do that again. Lord, I lift your name on high. And Lord, I love to sing your praises. And I'm so glad you're in my life, and I'm so glad you came to save us. All right, chorus. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Oh, you guys are pros. I love it. All right, we'll do it one time with the music, and then we'll move on. So at least you guys get a feel for, you know, kind of what it does. So I expect you guys to be doing this in your worship services, too. Just stand in a row in the front. Do it for everyone. Just get it. Yeah, go ahead. Just play along. I know that was quick learning. And I'm all right. A little more. You guys hear it? You know, a little more. Blasted. So usually I get them in, we get them clapping, like, come on, guys, everybody, let's praise the Lord. We're missing Lord, I lift your name on high. Everyone's else ready? Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven. You came from heaven to earth. All right, one more time. Here we go. Try it again. Come on, guys. Doing great. Ready, Lord? Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven. You came from heaven to earth to show. Guys are are great. All right, so all those words you learned, you can, like, recycle all those words and change them up and use them in other songs. So it kind of works. You can do it. You guys can do it. It's great. So I'm just trying to encourage you that music is such a way to go. And we might have time for one more song to just do a worship song. I'm just losing my train of thought. Let's see. One of the other songs we do is You Are My Strength and I Am Weak. Can we edit all that? All in all. You are my all in all. Another one, Here I Am to Worship. That's a great one. Now let's do 15. Let me teach you guys a few more words. Worship is worship. Let's see, light of the world. You came down out of darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. And then beauty that made this heart. You can do adores worship. Adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Then the chorus. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And then the little bridge goes, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Okay? Yeah, you guys got it. should we do it? You want to try that with music? Let's do 15. Okay. That's number 15. How many of you guys have done sign language, like your total pros? Oh, great. Okay, good. How many of you never did this your first time ever doing it? Okay, good. You can turn up a little more. Do you guys know it? Sing along.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
Beauty that made.
Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
So here I am.
And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
And King of all days, the K, ready? On your shoulder.
King of all days.
I am.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to
All right, and it keeps going and repeats. But see, it's so neat. Like, you can just even feel the presence of the Lord, no matter if you're in a classroom, if you're in a bus. And the Lord always meets, you know, when there's worship, when there's just those praises being lifted. And the kids can sense that, you know, even these, some of my wildest kids that come in with these foul mouths and pushing and shoving. It's just like, the Lord's there. And they, you know, so it's just really neat. So I want to encourage you guys. I know this is your first exposure to release time, but, you know, it's really incredible, and it's right here in our own backyards. It's in this city. It's in this state. It's in this country, and it's for us just to take advantage of, and it's also for a lot of other groups to take advantage of, you know, like some of those other religions can do the same thing. So it's kind of like if we get in there, you know, it's like first dibs on the kids, you know, and the harvest truly is so ripe, and, you know, we kind of don't see that in our own backyard sometimes, but it's right there. And, you know, this might be a little bit of heresy right now, so you might want to edit this about Chuck Smith saying, if you can teach adults, you can teach kids. But if you can teach if you can teach kids, you know, then you can teach adults, because you really got to keep their attention. There's something just so great about teaching kids. And it's kind of like, I think it's way up there, you know, like the pastors, they minister to the adults. But those of us that minister to the kids, I'm trying to be light here, guys. That was funny. Like, we're up here. Okay, never mind. All right, I'm just about done. So, Mom, you're on. Thank you. Yeah.